Standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. I will now turn the meeting over to your host, Michelle Dickens. You may begin when ready.
Great, Erin. Thank you very much. And good day, everybody. My name is Michelle Dickens, and I am the Program Manager for the Office of Certification, Policy, and Evaluation Unit, or OCPE, at the Community Development Financial Institutions Fund, or the CDFI Fund. Thank you for participating in this call for the specific purpose of discussing the recent CDFI certification cure notification your organization may have received. Since this call includes all level of different types of organizations, loan funds, banks, and credit unions, the team will provide a high level of information to assist you in understanding the reason the organization was placed in a cure period and how to address the identified deficiencies. We will leave some time at the end of the call to open it up for questions. However, if you have organization-specific questions, we do ask that you continue to submit them through the service request for tracking purposes. The CDF Fund has committed resources to prioritize and respond to cure period related service requests within 72 hours. And currently, we're up to date on providing all related responses. Joining me on today's call is the OCPE team. And directly connected to this endeavor, I'd like to introduce the Certification Associate Program Manager, Marcy Meyer, and analysts Mitchell Ortel and Joan Reed-Patrick. So we'll be working with Erin today, who will be managing the queue of calls with questions once we get to that point in time in the call. When we get to that point in the call and we're ready to engage your questions, we'll ask that you follow the following process to ensure that as many callers as possible can ask questions. Each caller will be limited to two separate questions or a question and a follow-up before we move on to the next caller in the queue. So after you've asked your question or questions, you're welcome to immediately queue up again to ask another question. So you may be wondering what's up with the barrage of cure notifications and think that we've identified these items in a vacuum. That is so far from the truth. For years, the certification team has been short-staffed in comparison with the number of applications we receive every year, the number of compliance checks we conduct, and other projects in which we are engaged. Right now, we are almost fully staffed with a total of 7 FTEs and are therefore better positioned to push through the reviews of ACRs that have not yet been finalized and or any related target market modification applications. These reviews have been prioritized because of the need to close certain CDFI certification application processes, including the target market modification request process, as we, the CDFI fund, transition to the new certification application policies and procedures. So the CDFI fund needs to ensure that organizations with known CDFI certification issues identified through your annual certification reports or by other means can still be confirmed as meeting the current certification requirements during the transition period where there might be, unavailable ways to cure your issue. So as you work to resolve your entity's cure status, it is important that you provide information as needed per the current CDFI certification policies and procedures. So indicating that the CDFI certification policies and or our procedures will be changing in the near future is not a valid reason for not providing information that's required to demonstrate compliance with the certification requirements. So, of course, when the new certification policies and procedures go into effect, your entity will need to demonstrate that you can meet those particular requirements. But for right now, the current policies remain in effect. During this call, we will talk about the following: understanding the blanket cure notification, how to identify the specific CDFI certification requirement that you are not meeting, and how to submit information to resolve the certification cure issue. Lastly, we'll leave it open for questions to provide general details and instructions on fixing the cure-related issue. So we'll start with understanding the cure notification. When information is collected by the CDFI fund in connection with an ACR or by other means, such as a material event notice or a help request, when that indicates that an entity is not meeting one or more of the certification requirements and or the available information is not sufficient for us to affirm that the entity is currently compliant with all of the certification requirements, you're placed into a cure status by way of the ACR, and then the entity is notified through the ACR of the specific issue and the time frames to fix such said issues. The mechanical steps that need to occur within AMIS in order to place an organization's CDFI certification into a formal cure period can take us some time. So primarily because we must enter the cure instructions into each relevant ACR, and since we didn't really have the luxury of time to mechanically place ACRs into a formal cure period through the AMIS portal at this time, we chose in this instance to send a blanket cure notification to entities with certification-related issues for which the available information was not sufficient for us to immediately reaffirm your certification status. The ACR is relevant to the current cure status will generally be the ones in which the reviewer has not yet finalized the ACR. And so all CDFIs can go into AMIS and see their submitted ACR reports by report year and identify the status of each of those reports. Also for this particular cure notice, we erred on the side of caution and put certification statuses into a cure even if the identified issue was solely that documentation submitted to demonstrate that the change did not impact the certification was not an acceptable form of documentation. So, for example, if an entity indicated that it updated its bylaws but didn't provide us the copy of the new bylaws with evidence that the document was approved by the governing leadership as a way, as of the time that the change was made, then that entity was placed into a cure period on that basis. Also, if an entity has a customized investment area as its target market component, even if it did not indicate issues meeting target market requirements, we may have erred on the side of caution here and put CDFIs into a cure in order to obtain confirmation that the customized investment area is valid under the current census data used by the CDFI fund. So trust me, it does not go unnoticed that the cure notifications were also sent to entities that may have already submitted target market modification requests in an effort to correct self-identified target market compliance issues and have not yet received formal determinations on that target market modification request. But we know, the CDFI fund knows, that the target market modification request will be declined. And so we'll go into the details on that in a little bit. So the blanket cure notice seems to have been a source of more confusion than we had anticipated. The issues that resulted in an entity's CDFI certification being put into a cure status were, for the most part, identified by the entity itself in one or more of its annual certification report submissions. And since there were a limited list of potential compliance issues identified in the blanket cure notice, we just expected that any entity who received the blanket cure notice would be able to review the information that it had reported in the ACR and then check that against the potential issues identified in the blanket cure notice in order to understand the specific issues that needed to be addressed. So, to help everyone better understand how to use the blanket cure notice that you've received, we'll take a few moments to provide more information on the overview. And then after that, we'll go into a bit more detail about the different CDFI certification compliance issues identified in the notice. First, there were where the notification states that your entity has been identified as having one or more of a set of specific CDFI certification issues, the notification lists all potential issues that your organization may have with its CDFI certification, but your organization may not have all of those issues. So again, in each, you'll need to identify that. So in this section of the notice, it also talks about how an entity can demonstrate its adherence to the CDFI certification requirements. So there we indicate what an entity with a certain type of issue will need to do in order to demonstrate that it really has no issue or that the problem has been or can be resolved. And then finally, the notice provide some general information on the CDFI certification requirement that your entity should consider as part of its review of its status to an attempt to demonstrate its compliance with those pertinent requirements. So I'll talk a little bit more about the CDFI certifications identified in the notice. Financing entity criterion. So that criteria requires that an organization, one, dedicates a predominance of its assets and staff time to closing eligible financial transactions, which are financial product transactions with non-affiliated third parties for which the organization would be named as a financing entity of record in the associated transaction closing documents. Secondly, or two, demonstrate that it's in regular operation closing the eligible financial product transaction. And three, demonstrate that it has sufficient capital to continue providing eligible financial products for at least 3 months. So depository institution holding companies, federal or state regulated credit unions, and banks with FDIC deposit insurance automatically pass the financing entity criterion, and as it has always been able to do, can ignore the reference to the CDFI certification cure notice about financing entity issues. Other entities should review the status to ensure that they are meeting the certification financing entity requirements and make those connections to any ACR that you have submitted. For target market, there was quite a few organizations who received the cure notice that need to confirm due to being confirmed as having a potential target market issue. The target market issues identified include, one, your target market activity is below the standard 60% benchmark in both number and or dollar volume. Two, the current approved target market includes a customized investment area, and customized investment areas are geographies that include qualified and non-qualified census tracts that were created based on the 2010 ACS data set, and that is not or may not be valid under the current 2015 ACS data set. So for customized investment areas created under the 2010 census data set to still be valid, it must be exactly recreated in SIMS under the new census data set, the 2015 data set. And it must also validate as a distressed area under this new data set. So this is an issue that actually should have been corrected back in 2019 when the CDFI fund transitioned to the current 2015 ACS data set. And three, the CDFI reported on its target market benchmark compliance using one or more target market component where they were not part of their current approved CDFI certification target market. The approved target market can be identified on an organization's detail page in AMIS or by using the CDFI certification determination notifications or subsequent target market determination notifications. And if you have any questions about what your target market is or they are conflicting with any of the documents between AMIS and the paper, the email that you receive, just send us an email through AMIS and we'll clarify what your target market is. Accountability. To meet the CDFI certification accountability requirement, a sufficient level of members of an entity's governing or managing board or of an advisory board must be accountable to each proposed target market component. The blanket cure notification provides the minimum percentages the CDFI fund uses internally to assess if there is sufficient accountability to a target market component. As also noted in the blanket cure notification, for credit unions that seek to use the special accountability provision, the credit union must use the current fiscal year-to-date information to demonstrate that at least 50% of its credit union members are part of the specific target market type relevant to each target market component for which they are using the special accountability provision for. There are a handful of entities that will need to provide information pertaining to the CDFI certification requirements that might not be referenced in the blanket cure notification. Typically, this will involve providing proper documentation to verify that changes in the entity's organizing or governance documents have not created the CDFI certification compliance issue. So this is sort of that erring on the side of caution. If your entity noted that this type of change has occurred in your ACR for which the review has not yet been finalized, then it will most likely need to address those issues as part of their cure resolution. As mentioned earlier, some entities that received cure notices have already submitted target market modification requests in an effort to correct identified compliance issues for which you have not yet received formal determination. If you fall into any of those categories and receive a cure notice because you have a pending target market modification, it will be declined. You will need to submit a new target market modification request in order to resolve this issue, and we recommend that you review the general guidance on CDFI certification requirements in the blanket notification to avoid the following types of issues. The financial product activity data presented in the target market modification request is not for the correct review timeframes based on when the target market modification request was submitted. So whatever the entity's actual most recently completed fiscal year and current fiscal year-to-date timeframes are, at the time the target market modification application is submitted, you must use that. Coming up with different time frames, we can tell what sort of time frames you're using based on the data that you're providing to us, and oftentimes it hasn't been correct. So you must use the proper current fiscal year and or most recently completed fiscal year in order to submit your target market modification. The target market activity levels indicated in the target market modification request may have been too low for an entity to be accepted as meeting the CDFI certification target market benchmark requirements. The submission of the target market modification is to fix the deficiency. It must be at the required 60% threshold in both number and dollar. Anything less than that does not indicate that the entity is meeting the requirement. Accountability to one or more of the proposed target market components was not adequately demonstrated in the submission of your target market modification. Or one or more of the proposed target market verification processes presented in the application was not accepted. We also provide a list of acceptable verification methodologies in the notification, and if it falls outside of that, then it will not be accepted. So, we'll now talk about how to identify the specific CDFI certification requirement that your entity is currently not meeting. To identify the specific CDFI certification requirement, you can do any of the following. Review the list of CDFI certification issues identified in the blanket notification and assess your entity's status to determine which one of those issues are applicable. You can review any of the entity's submitted annual certification reports that do not have the completed, that's the status, the report status would say completed, if there's nothing else to do with it. If it says that it's still submitted and not completed, then you might want to look further into that ACR to see what issues you've identified as being not met. You can check to see if your organization has submitted a material event form. A material event form provides the CDFI fund information regarding a significant change that has occurred within the CDFI, and sometimes those changes identified does impact or can impact certification requirements. And as noted in the CURE notification, you can submit a service request to request very specific information on the reason your entity's CDFI certification was put into a CURE status. We have a dedicated staff time to prioritize and respond to these CURE notifications, as I mentioned before, within 72 hours. But please, only submit one service request for your entity. Multiple requests clogs up our queue. Also, if you submit a service request, there's no need for you to also submit an email to me or directing it to other members of the team or other people at the CDFI fund unless otherwise directed. Again, multiple submissions by various means will cause the team to take time to fish through the various methods to determine whether or not a response has already been provided. We will start mechanically moving ACRs into CURE statuses, so you may receive another CURE notification, but just know that it's all related. There's nothing new happening here. We're just moving things mechanically so that you can submit them back to us. So now we'll just talk briefly about how to submit the information to resolve the CDFI certification CURE status. If your entity's CDFI ACR certification has been placed into a CURE period through the ACR, where the ACR status says CURE, you will be able to provide the required information in the ACR and then resubmit it. But if you need to submit a target market modification application to CURE the issue, please do so and then resubmit the ACR in the CURE with an attachment letting us know that the target market modification has been submitted, or if your entity has not yet received an ACR notification indicating that the status has changed to CURE by the time it's ready to send its CURE, to fix its CURE issue, you just need to submit a service request with the information that the target market modification request has been submitted in connection with the CURE-related status. If you have a pending target market modification that needs to be declined before you can submit a new target market modification, you can submit a service request to that, and then we can move things appropriately to ensure that we're providing the information on the resolution of the CURE and so that we can officially, again, decline the application to make way for the new submission. If you need to submit an accountability, some accountability information to affect the cure, we will provide an accountability worksheet for you to complete, and you will resubmit the ACR in the cure with the completed worksheet attached. And if we haven't moved the ACR into a cure status by the time you're ready again to submit, you can submit your worksheet through a service request. Likewise, if you need to submit information to affect the financing entity related cure status, the CDFI fund will provide a worksheet for that. You will complete it and you will resubmit the ACR and attach the worksheet. And again, if you did not receive the ACR, it's not in a cure status, just go ahead and submit a service request with the attached financing entity related worksheet. And if your entity needs to submit information to affect a cure, you will either resubmit the cure through the ACR with the relevant information attached, or again, submit it through the service request if you're ready and the ACR has not been set to a cure status. Now, I know that was a mouthful, and if you weren't diligently taking notes to grasp all of the nuances, don't worry. We will post an FAQ document or similar document that will outline the steps that I just identified. More than likely, we will also post this recorded webinar for you to go back to listen to. So, it's now 3:30, and with the time remaining, we'll open it up to a couple of questions. But before we do that, I just received confirmation that all organizations that received the blanket notification on July 23rd through 26th will receive an automatic extension to 11:59 p.m. on October the 23rd. Let me repeat that. If you received a blanket notification between July 23rd and July 26th, you will receive an automatic extension to 11:59 p.m. on October the 23rd, 2022. Therefore, you have a little bit of additional time to demonstrate compliance. If you need to submit a target market modification application, the CDFI fund will keep this application, the target market modification application, open for submission of your target market mod even through the pause period. So for you, it remains open. If your cure notification was delivered before the 23rd of July, the identified deadlines to cure remains in effect. So just as a reminder, to ensure that as many callers as possible can ask a question, each caller will be limited to two separate questions, or a question and a follow-up question, before we move on to the next caller in the queue. After you've asked your question or questions, you're welcome to immediately queue up again and ask another question. As we move into the Q&A session, we want to acknowledge that I understand you might be frustrated a little bit by the fact that your entity certification has been put into a cure. We would like to note that in most cases, the issues were, like I said, a result of issues that were identified by the CDFI itself. And in addition, some of the cases have, or the issues have been problems for several years. As you may be aware, it is the CDFI's responsibility to maintain compliance to the CDFI certification requirements. So, as soon as a CDFI certification issue arises, an entity should start taking steps necessary to resolve that issue, even if the CDFI fund has not confirmed a problem or directed the entity on how to proceed. We recognize that many of you have tried to do this proactively by submitting a target market modification request or other relevant documents to show that there really was no issue or that the problem has been resolved or can be resolved, and that it's taken us a while to review these submissions. And for that, I do apologize for the delay. But we're on it now. What we would like to do now is to make sure that everybody understands what is needed in order for the entity to be able to maintain its CDFI certification status during this period of transition. We want to use the Q&A session productively to answer questions that will facilitate this process. So please be aware that if you have comments or questions that gets into the weeds of certain entities' specific situations or are not really pertinent to the understanding of the steps that entities need to take to correct their CDFI certification issue, we may interrupt you and redirect you to submit a service request. So, that being said, Erin, I think we are ready to take our first question. And if you can remind you callers how to ask a question, and if we have questions and callers in the queue, can you tell me how many?
Thank you so much. We have no callers in queue just yet. And just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Please unmute your phone and record your first name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To cancel your request, you can press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Speakers, please stand by while I gather names.
Thank you. And I will just go ahead and say that my team and I will all be answering the related questions.
And our first question comes from David. David, your line is open.
Hi, yes. This question is regarding credit unions. Will creation of an advisory board be acceptable to resolve the board member accountability issue? And then I have a follow-up question.
Yes, all entities are allowed to create an advisory board if it works within their structure. So credit unions are no different and can submit accountability through a credit union. An advisory board.
So that will work.
Actually, Michelle, before you ask your follow-up, David, I'm just going to add to that. This is Marcy Meyer. Just make sure that if you're going to use an advisory board as your means of accountability, that you provide information on how the advisory board meets the following types of requirements. Number one, you need to make sure that the advisory board meets at least once a year. Number two, we're going to be checking to see that that the role of the advisory board involves providing input and feedback to the governing leadership on strategic and or policy-related issues. The advisory board can have other roles and functions, but one of its roles must be to provide this strategic input on strategic matters and or policy issues. And finally, you'll need to make sure that there's a clear formal mechanism by which the feedback or input from the advisory board is communicated to the governing leadership.
Thanks for adding that, Marcy. Your second question, David?
My follow-up question is, with the advisory board, would you add the advisory board and the governing board members together to meet the 40% or 30% thresholds for the investment areas?
No, they are viewed separately. They are not.
So how does the advisory board, what impact does the advisory board have on the number of governing board members you have to have that live in an investment area?
There's no impact. They are viewed separately when it comes to the accountability mechanism. So you would have to have, you can use both boards if you need to do that, but they're viewed separately. So you can have a board perhaps that's made up of primarily, governing board members who reside in an investment area that you might have as a target market, but you might not have the appropriate number of board members on that governing board that are also connected to a low-income targeted population, for example. So you create an advisory board that will house those governing board advisory board members that have that connection to the low-income targeted population.
Okay.
Sorry, David, just real quick, your comment about the connection between entities that are using an advisory board as a means of accountability and how that might affect sort of the configuration of their governing board, that is something that does not currently apply to the CDFI certification, as Michelle mentioned, but may come into play under the new policies. But right now, as Michelle mentioned, you don't have to worry about that.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from Dickie. Your line is open.
Okay, I think that's me. I don't know if there are any other Dickies. I have a question related to that. Michelle said something that confused me, and that is, I will try to genericize this. If an organization has received, or you said you could go in and look in your AMIS, the status of your ACR, if earlier ACRs were submitted but not reviewed, but a more recent ACR was submitted and reviewed, does one need to go back and look at the earlier ACRs that I'm assuming, and this could be incorrect on my part, that the fund was simply not able to get to because of those staffing constraints? And then I have a follow-up.
That could be a thing. So each year, this is probably a little bit in the weeds, but we have to reconfigure when we start a new annual certification report for every report year that puts some parameters that if there is a prior year that hasn't been closed out, that the new one should not be closed out as well. But sometimes that's been a little glitchy. So you might have received a notification saying that your more recent one was closed out when there might have been prior ones that weren't. So I would, yes, go back and take a look at the ones that were not closed out and do not have a completed status to see what the issue were in either of those. And, again, if you submit a service request, we can direct you more specifically to the ones that we were referring to and the criteria that we see as an issue remaining.
Okay, and just my follow-up on that, Michelle, is if an organization did not receive a blanket notification but simply has outstanding earlier or previous ACRs that were submitted but not reviewed, does an organization then assume there is a problem?
I would make an assumption that there's a problem that you just want to clarify.
And there should be a way to send a service request and say, I've reviewed it. I don't see any problem. Can you direct me to whatever the issues are for fiscal year X or fiscal year Y? Is that the best way to handle it?
You just refer to it as report year X or Y, and we should be able to narrow it down.
And, Michelle, I don't think any group that – if a group has not received a cure notice, either – one of these blanket cure notices that have been sent out over the past couple of months, or a cure notice generated directly in AMIS via an ACR that has been returned to that entity in a cure status. If you haven't received a cure notice by either of those means, then your entity is not currently in a cure in connection with a CDFI certification. So that means that while issues may have been identified in an ACR, the CDFI fund has either determined that those are not issues that create problems for the CDFI certification status and or for more recent ACRs that have been submitted in 2022, we just haven't reviewed them yet.
I don't want to break the rules, but we did. But if there was a later ACR that was submitted and reviewed, you're saying we shouldn't be concerned.
No, I'm saying that if you didn't receive a cure notice, either one of these blanket cure notices, if an entity did not receive one of these blanket cure notices, and it did not receive an ACR returned to it in a cure status, then it is not currently in a cure status in connection with its CDFI certification. It may still have issues that need to be resolved, and it should be working on those, but it is not in a, formally in a cure status right now for CDFI fund purposes.
Right, but I will just add to that, and I think I stand by what I said earlier, that if there is confusion and you want clarity about your status for prior submitted ACR that is not closed out, go ahead and submit a service request so we can ensure, give you the confidence that you're good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I overtook my time. I apologize.
And our next question comes from Jeff. Your line is open.
Hi. I wanted to ask how the CDFI fund will view extenuating circumstances as it relates to target market. For example, if the target market wasn't reached because of the sheer amount of emergency loans provided in light of the COVID crisis, just wondering how CDFI fund will look at those extenuating circumstances.
So under our current policies, we were only looking at, and Marcy, you might have to help me out here, was it for RRP-related activity, and that was
PPP
the only...
PPP.
Thank you. PPP, RRP, they all start to run together. PPP-related activity during the emergency COVID activities that were financial. Anything else, we don't have policies to address those. So if that's something that's affecting your target market numbers, would they still be affecting your target market numbers for your current fiscal year to date?
No, and actually this was, I think, two reports back. So we are, it's no longer an issue. It was just an issue in the 2020 fiscal year.
Yeah, so if it's been identified as a prior issue, but you've come out of that and are currently meeting target market, then you shouldn't have a problem if you can demonstrate that your numbers are now at the levels required.
Yep. And just to piggyback on that, Michelle, what we ask groups in that particular situation to do if they report that they missed the target market benchmark standards for a particular ACR reporting period, we typically, as Michelle mentioned, ask them to provide information on their current fiscal year-to-date activity so that we can see whether, as Michelle said, you've moved out of that problem period and are now back in compliance with the target market benchmark requirements based on the current approved CDFI certification target market. If that's not the case, then the entity may need to consider submitting a target market modification request to correct the target market issues. But if the problem was just an anomaly, just a temporary glitch, and the data shows that they are currently back in the right groove with their current target market, then we would accept the current data, as Michelle said. But the other option is if that's still a continuing issue, those groups could use a target market modification request to correct their problem.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question is from Mark. Your line is open.
Hi there. Hi, I just had a quick question. We, as an organization, did not meet our target market benchmark requirements. And from what I'm kind of understanding, if we can demonstrate that a target market modification would have satisfied that benchmark, that's what we need to submit. My question around that really comes to what data do we need to provide in that target market modification? Do we need to demonstrate that our 2021 data and our 2022 ACR would have hit that threshold? do we have to use data from this current year? Do we have to use data from previous years?
The target market application will ask you for your most recently completed fiscal year and your current fiscal year to date information. Now, more than likely, if you've identified an issue in your 2021, let's say, annual certification report, I'm not sure if you're a credit union or not, but you might still show a problem in your most recently completed fiscal year. But your current fiscal year-to-date information might fix the issue. So I believe the fund is looking more so at what's happening right now in your current fiscal year and whether or not you can meet the benchmarks under that time frame. So when you submit, you're submitting for both, and we'll make a determination, probably disregarding the fiscal year end just completed, if you're now meeting in the current year.
And when you're selecting your target market for the modified target market, you should basically be able to put together a target market that helps you meet the 60% target market benchmark requirements for both of those prior timeframes, and that will help you continue to meet those target market benchmark requirements moving forward. So when you're looking at doing your target market modification, look back at where your financial product activity was directed, line it up with potential target market components, make sure you have the accountability to those particular target market components, and then configure your proposed target market so that for both of the timeframes that are under review, the most recently completed fiscal year and the current fiscal year to date, you're more likely to be able to meet those 60% benchmark levels via this modified proposed target market.
Can I add one more thing to this? This is Mitchell, by the way, a financial analyst. But so if you're, because you mentioned, I believe, that you were just having, your entity was experiencing an issue meeting the financial, the target market 60% benchmark criteria. If your target market is not changing, it's geography, you don't necessarily have to submit a target market modification application. You can also just submit to us your financial product activity for newly closed transactions that's directed to your currently approved target market. And that would just be through your 2022 ACR.
And I'm going to add to that, if the geography is changing, let's say you have certain target market components and the geography is changing, you will need to submit a target market modification request to include the additional geography. So if you're where you're conducting your financial product activity is in a different geography than is currently approved for your entity, maybe you're directing your financial products to the same type of target market components, investment areas, low-income targeted populations, other targeted populations, but in a different geography than you're currently approved for, you will need to submit a target market modification to add that new geography or to switch to that new geography.
Understood. And I guess my follow-up, too, in kind of a worst-case scenario, we failed to demonstrate that a target market modification would hit those benchmarks. What is kind of the fallout of that, and what would be the results of any grants that we had received?
I'm sorry, I actually missed that question. Marcy, if you caught that, or can you repeat the question?
I didn't hear everything that you said, but I think that your question was, if the target market modification request is rejected, either because your entity cannot put together a target market, an allowed target market where it has the necessary or the needed accountability to the different target market components, you cannot put together an acceptable target market that's approvable via which your entity can meet the 60% or be accepted as meeting the 60% target market benchmark requirements, or the target market modification is rejected perhaps for other reasons. Maybe your entity could meet the 60% target market benchmark requirements based on a certain a set of target market components, but you haven't demonstrated that you have accountability to all the target market components that would be needed in order to be accepted as meeting the target market benchmark requirements, or the data that you provided was for the incorrect timeframes, and so it can't be used to assess whether or not you're actually meeting the target market requirements. If your target market modification request is rejected for any reason, then if that target market modification request was submitted to cure the CDFI certification compliance issues, and that target market modification request is rejected, then, and Michelle, you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, then your CDFI certification will be deactivated because your attempt to fix your CDFI certification compliance issues failed if the target market modification request was intended to fix those issues and that target market modification request is rejected. You will have failed to correct your issues, you will have failed to cure the problem, and your CDFI certification will be terminated.
Yeah, so I'll just kind of broaden that a little bit to say for any of these identified issues that at the time the cure period is over, if there's a failure to fix the issue, every entity in that situation will be terminated.
Okay, thank you.
I will make note of the time. We have about 5 minutes left on the call, and Erin, if you can give us a status on how many calls we have left in the queue.
Sure, we have 8 questions left in queue.
All right, so we will commit to staying on a little longer to meet the needs of these 8 callers. So if everybody else can hold their questions and or submit them through a service request, we're more than happy to answer those in that forum. So Erin, we'll take the next call.
Thank you. Next question is from Chad. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Question was regard to target market, which has been sufficiently answered, so I'll defer my time. Thank you.
Next question is from Bonnie. Your line is open.
Hi. We're a CDFI that got a blanket cure notification letter related to accountability. And my question is, does getting this blanket cure notice impact our ability to apply to the CDFI Fund's ERP grant, which has a September 22nd deadline, or could it impact our ability to receive a new award from the CDFI Fund, such as the FA award, where we have an application that's outstanding?
No, so cures from a certification CDFI Fund perspective, a cure status does not have an effect on your ability to apply for any other award programs within the fund. What could happen is that if you are in line to receive an award, they may hold off on that award until the cure is finalized. So if you are then, identified as having met the cure and remain certified, you move forward in the rounds. If you do not and your CDFI is CDFI cert status is terminated, then you could potentially be knocked out of the round unless you meet any of the other requirements that might be allowed for receiving an award.
Okay, thank you.
You can most certainly check with the programs to answer those questions a little bit more in full. Erin, we'll take the next call.
Next question comes from Melissa. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon. We received our target market modification approval. However, when I went into AMIS, I noticed that I had a cure next to the board of directors, but I didn't get any information about what that cure was. I didn't get a letter or anything. So I've submitted a service request. Someone will respond to that and tell me what that cure actually means for that specific category?
Absolutely. If you've already submitted a service request, We will respond.
I was on the phone here. Yeah, I did today, right now.
Oh, you just submitted?
Yes, I did. I did submit a service request today.
Okay.
Right now.
Someone will respond within 72 hours to give you more detail about the difference.
Okay.
The difference with you.
Okay, because I didn't get what I think you were referring to as a blanket cure letter from anybody.
Yeah,
I just happened to see the cure when I went into AMIS and looked at the organization. That's all.
Yeah, so we will certainly follow up by email on that. This is a more specific.
Okay, I get it. All right, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Melissa.
Michelle, I'll just throw this out there. There are some entities that may currently be in a cure status with their ACRs, where we've determined that the measure that they have taken to correct the cure-related issues will be approved. And so some entities may actually be in a cure status but may not have received the blanket cure notice. But as we said before, if you've received any type of cure notice about being in a cure status, just as the caller who just asked this question did, please submit a service request to verify what your entity's status is and what issues may need to be addressed.
Yeah, the way you phrased that, Marcy, is perfect. I think, as part of us, pushing through to get these cure notifications out, there were some that we did review that could be fine. And so you did not get a cure notification because once we actually mechanically, again, complete the reviews, you would have essentially fixed your own issue and there was no need for us to go any further. So if you didn't get it and you were somehow notified of this call and or some, prior cure issue, you may be okay. But like we mentioned on the other caller's question, just to verify, just for peace of mind, go ahead and submit that service request if you haven't already, and we'll follow up.
Next question comes from Marianne. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. My question has to do with the accountability of the governing board to a low-income targeted population target market. The worksheet that my organization received and needs to be completed indicates that we would have to describe how the determination was made that the identified sources of accountability is valid. Can you explain what type of confirmation or validation is considered appropriate?
Marcy, you want to take that question?
Wondering if you were hesitating for that reason. Yeah, so in terms of demonstrating that the source of accountability that you're putting forward for a board member, and this is true for all of the different target market types and the board members that are being presented as accountable to any target market type, we need you to provide us with sufficient information so that we can understand how your entity made the determination that that board member has this acceptable or allowable source of accountability. So for a low-income targeted population, for instance, a board member might be accountable to the low-income targeted population because they themselves are low-income and live or work within the relevant geography that has been selected for the particular LITP target market component, for that low-income targeted population target market component. In that case, we want you to explain to us how you determined that that board member does indeed qualify as low-income and that they live or work within the relevant associated geography for the LITP target market component that they're being presented as accountable to. So we would want some explanation of what you did in order to verify their income level. And we do not like to see that you ask the board member what their income was. We prefer and want to see, and if you don't provide this type of information to us, you don't have to actually provide the documentation, but if you don't say that you collected documentation to verify the board member's income status, then if you get approved, if you're accepted as having that board member as accountable to the LITP because of their status as low income themselves, we probably will follow up with you later to ask for you to prove that via documentation on the board member's income. So we strongly recommend that you not, when you're using this particular source of accountability, that you don't just ask the board member what they think their income is and whether they think they fall below the LITP income limits, but instead you should collect and review income documentation so that you, your organization, can verify whether or not you accept that this board member's income does indeed qualify them as low income. So you would explain to us how what you did. You don't have to, again, provide the documentation. You just need to explain to us what you did to verify that board member's status as a low income person. If the board member is presented...
I'm sorry, one quick follow-up. But in this case, if they're not low-income targeted population individuals themselves, they are employed by other organizations that serve low-income. So what would the validation look like there? Just, again, an explanation of the role they serve within their organization?
Not necessarily a little bit of that, and I was just about to mention that one.
Okay.
So if you're presenting a board member as accountable either to an investment area or to a low-income targeted population, as someone who is employed by or serves on the board for a third-party entity, it cannot be the entity that's seeking to obtain or maintain the CDFI certification. It can't be their role on that entity's board. It has to be the role as an employee, and it can't be their status as an employee for that entity that's seeking the CDFI certification. So this has to be a role as an employee or as a board member for a third-party entity, an entity other than the entity actually seeking to obtain or maintain the CDFI certification.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this role as an employee or as a board member for this third-party entity, and that third-party entity needs to be an entity that primarily serves the relevant target market type, in this case, residents of distressed communities, if it's an investment area target market component, or for the situation that you are talking about, where it's a low-income targeted population, they would need to, this third-party entity would need to primarily serve low-income people, and it would need to do that, whether it's for the distressed areas or the low-income people, specifically within the geography associated with the relevant target market component for which the board member is being presented as accountable. So the board member needs to work for or be employed by or serve as a board member for a third-party entity that primarily serves members of the relevant target market type within the relevant associated geography for that target market component. And this particular source of accountability is only allowed for investment areas and low-income targeted populations. And the way that you would demonstrate that you made the determination that that third-party entity did indeed primarily serve the right type of consumers within the right geography is that you would indicate to us what source of information you used to verify that entity's status in that regard. So perhaps you looked at the entity's most recent annual report, and the annual report indicated that over 50% of the entity's consumers, of this third-party entity's consumers, qualify as low income, and then you put that together with information that indicates that that entity's service area is primarily focused on the geography that is being presented for the relevant target market component, then you would say, okay, we verified via the annual report that this entity primarily serves this particular target market type, and their service area is it aligns with the proposed geography for the relevant target market component. Perhaps you will look at getting a letter from someone other than the board member that's being presented as accountable that is a leader, either a governing leader or an employee leader within this third-party entity, and have them attest to the fact that their entity primarily serves the right target market type within the relevant associated geography. And so you can use that type of information to kind of put the pieces together, and then you just need to tell us how you put the pieces together to make your determination that this entity does indeed, again, primarily serve the right type of target market within the relevant associated geography.
So, Marcy, one thing that
I think you could also add to the FAQ guidance that we'll send out is, are those categories that we identify as accountable for board members? I don't think we included that in the notification, but we can certainly pull that out of the CDFI certification application guidance and put that into the FAQ.
Yep. And I would also recommend that if you have questions about stuff like this, go ahead and submit a service request for us. Make sure, because we're responding, we're prioritizing service requests like this from entities that are currently in the CURE status. Make sure you note for the service request that your entity is in a CURE, and that will hopefully flag it so that we can prioritize your question. But if you have questions about how your entity can demonstrate that it is meeting the CDFI certification requirements in order to affect the CURE, perhaps, as in this example, to demonstrate that a board member does indeed have the right source of accountability, then go ahead and submit a service request asking us for more information on how you need to go about doing that. And we'll provide you with more detailed information.
Next week, we also host our normal monthly CDFI certification conference call, where we've always been available monthly to answer questions for new applicants and currently certified CDFIs. So that call takes place next Thursday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon as well, Eastern Time. So feel free to hop onto that call as well if you are on this call and don't quite get your answers here and you have more questions or just want to listen in. That conference call information is posted on our website as well.
Yep.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Peter. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I have two questions. The first being, we are one of those organizations for which accountability was an issue. And do I understand correctly that I should expect to receive some type of worksheet that we can fill out and submit through a service request, or should we be fixing this through the AMIS board composition fields?
Now, we find that it's better to wait for us to send you that spreadsheet. AMIS gets a little complicated, especially that board section there and tying it to target markets and such. So we're going to use a worksheet to help you affect that change or that information to us. Now, we intend to, and helping us out to do this is by you submitting a service request to the fund on your specific issue to get more information about your specific issue. But our intent is actually to reach out to even organizations that have not submitted a service request, trying to be a little bit proactive about this, and provide the data, the documents, the spreadsheet that's necessary. So if you have an accountability issue and you want that spreadsheet almost, you know, super quick, go ahead and submit a service request and we can respond within 72 hours. Sure. Maybe if one of my teammates can make a note, maybe we'll add that to our website for download. Maybe it'll be an easier way to get that.
That would be
great. Yeah, and
great.
I will add too, you know, that we have up until this particular juncture been asking groups to present the accountability information in their AMIS accounts. But as Michelle mentioned, it does get a little bit technical and glitchy, and in the interest of expediting this particular process, we decided to just go back to kind of the paper version of presenting board information.
That would be greatly appreciated, because since we got the notification, we have been in AMIS and been trying to update the information and finding there's two technical issues that are preventing us from doing that. So that worksheet would be greatly welcomed. The second question I had is, can women-owned businesses be considered as an other targeted population?
I would steer clear of that unless you have the very specific information as we outline in the application, the certification application, where you need to have very specific geography information on women-owned business in your geography that you're proposing, and that data is, you know, within 5 years, and you're showing the demonstrated need, not just utilizing, you know, very basic census information. It gets a little bit more complicated in the research and parameters that we're looking for to approve other targeted populations. And if they can fit somewhat nicely into any of the other categories, that would be most helpful. It would take us some time, and it would take us the use of our financial research team to confirm the information that you would be presenting as research for this other targeted population type. So I would personally still steer clear away from that, but I can't stop you from submitting it for sure.
Okay, thank
you. Yeah, and I'll add to that. I agree with Michelle, steer clear of it, because I think in the past 10 years, the CDFI fund has not approved any other targeted populations. And that is because generally, like Michelle said, the entity proposing the other targeted population is not able to provide sufficient data to clearly demonstrate that the reason why that population is underserved within the financial marketplace is specifically because of the characteristic that is being used to identify them. So you would have to have data to show specifically within the relevant geography, as Michelle said, that women-owned businesses are being underserved within the financial marketplace specifically because they are women-owned businesses, versus maybe that they're being something that has to do with their income status or their status as a minority population, part of a member of a minority population, and so on. And it's very difficult to pull that data together, especially at the smaller geography levels. So.
Thank you.
Next question is from Brian. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Brian. You just stated earlier that board members volunteering for the entity seeking certification or the award is not allowable. And the credit union, I'm a credit union in this example, we do have a significant impact in the community. It's more of a policy question from your perspective. Why is volunteering for the board of the entity seeking certification no longer considered by CDFI?
So, Michelle, I'll jump in and answer that because I'm the one who said that. So what I was saying is that when you're presenting a board member as accountable to a particular target market component, and this is allowed only for investment areas and low-income targeted populations, so if you're presenting a board member of your entity as being accountable to a low-income targeted population or an investment area, via their role as an employee or a board member of an entity that primarily serves that particular target market type within the relevant geography that's being used for that target market component, then that board member, that role as a board member or as an employee, that source of accountability has to be via a third-party entity, not the entity that is actually seeking the CDFI certification or looking to maintain it. And so what we mean by that is the board member, if you have a board member that has a role with a third-party entity where they're doing volunteer work, that's actually not a source of accountability unless that board member is an employee of or serves as a board member, also serves as a board member for that third-party entity. So being a volunteer for other entities is not a source of accountability for any CDFI certification target market component. Being a board member or an employee of the entity that is actually seeking the CDFI certification or looking to maintain it, that is not an allowed role when the board member is being presented as being an employee or a board member for an entity that primarily serves the right target market type. So I'm not sure if I've answered your question, but basically it's fine if board members have volunteer roles, and sometimes those volunteer roles are as board members for other entities, and if that volunteer role for this third-party entity is as a board member for that third-party entity, and that third-party entity primarily serves the right target market type within the right geography, then that board member could potentially use that as a source of accountability for a related target market component. But if the board member is being presented as working for an entity that primarily serves the target market component, and that's being presented as their source of accountability, it cannot be their role with the entity as a board member or as an employee of the entity that's seeking to obtain or maintain the CDFI certification that's being used to demonstrate that they have this particular source of accountability. It has to be a role as an employee or a board member with a third-party entity. Does that make sense? I don't know if I've answered your question.
Well, I think you've restated what you had said prior to, and I understand the facts of the policy of CDFI. I'm more curious, why is that? Like, why? We have board members that are retired, for example, and their primary volunteer role is being a volunteer on our credit union and nothing else, really. You know, they give away to charity, but they're not necessarily serving on a board or anything. And it just seems odd that you wouldn't include it.
Yeah, we've just always, that's just been the way the source of accountability was developed. The role had to be as an employee or as a board member for an entity that primarily serves the target market component.
Right, and I think credit unions, you know, having had over the last couple of years the option of allowing the special provision, you know, all of those categories kind of go away if you can demonstrate the connectedness of the membership to the target market type. So we would basically ignore the volunteer, nor ignore whether or not they had a direct connection to the target market components because of the election of the board members. So Marcy is right. We've always had that policy in place.
And actually, just sort of thinking about it, I can't say that this is the reason why it was developed that way, because I wasn't with the CDFI fund when this particular policy and procedure was originally developed. But I suspect that what the CDFI fund was looking for, they're looking for someone who represents, we're looking for someone who can be accepted as representing the target market component. And so we really wanted someone who had a vested role in this particular, for this particular source of accountability, that had a vested role with a third-party entity that primarily served the right type of target market. The role as a volunteer can sometimes be less formal and less assiduous in some ways. And so I think the CDFI fund was looking for a role either as an employee or as a board member for that type of entity so that it would be a more formal, a more clear, a more regular, a more consistent of kind of affiliation or representation or pathway to representing that particular target market type, whereas volunteer roles can sometimes be a little bit more squishy. And I'll also mention that I lost my train of thought there for a second, so I'll just stop right there, and I'll say I think that a volunteer role, past roles also can't be used as sources of accountability. It has to be an active current role. And so, again, the idea here is that we want something where there's a clear and regular and consistent connection with the relevant target market type in the relevant geography, and not something that's a little, sometimes a little less formalized, like a volunteer role, and or that's not a current role, like a prior role. So I think that's probably why they settled on, you know, for to have this working for source of accountability. The CDFI fund originally settled on you have to be an employee of or a board member for this other entity.
Okay, that's my only question. Thanks.
I know we are fast approaching the 4:30 time frame. Let's see if we can wrap up the last few questions.
Yeah, the last will be from Jennifer. Your line is open.
Oh, great. I wasn't counting. Jennifer?
Hello?
Are you there? Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Okay, great. Sorry about that. So one quick question and then just a follow-up. So I had submitted a service request for our organization. I have received an email back from the CCME at CDFI. Is the best way to move forward to continue to use that email to resolve stuff? Because I didn't have a lot of the information responded back in a service request. I just kind of got the generic, we received your certification request response through the AMIS platform. So that was kind of my first question.
Thoughts? Okay. Let me answer the first question first, and then we'll go to your next question. So the initial response back for all of our service request communication is that sort of email that says, hey, we've got your service request. It's going to move forward to the next stage. But here's a few things for you to look at while you wait for us, you know, if you haven't already. And then someone more direct from our team will take a look at your question and respond within 72 hours. So do expect another response.
No, I have the direct response that says this is exactly what you need to fix your cure.
Oh, and that came from the CCME mailbox.
Yeah, that came from the CCME as well and doesn't really have, you know, a person signature, which is fine.
So if,
my question is, do I just respond to that email?
Right. So you can tell whether or not it's been closed out and would need to submit another service request because – once we respond in full, you know, I don't think we can tell if you keep responding within that completed service request. So, and
maybe it's just not clear. I'll just ask my next question. So our issue is when we have a 2020 issue on our ACR, we have new bylaws which were updated or uploaded as part of the 2020 submission. However, we did receive a notification back that said there were pages missing from the scanned copy of the new bylaws. We then uploaded in July of 2020 the full copy of the bylaws into the ACR. However, we just now got a cure thing on there, and it's still marked revision requested. So my question comes, whether I ask it here and you answer, or I ask it through the service request, or I ask it via response to this email, is like, you know, we thought we have done what needed to be done, but apparently y'all aren't getting it. So
my next one is those
very specific details.
This may be one of those instances, and the team can correct me if I'm wrong on this, where we erred on the side of caution. So you might have responded to us, and things might have been, you know, from the time you responded to the time we submitted the cure information, some lag in time where we didn't look deeply at what was provided. So we're trying to close out everything now, and things are now being responded to. So you received some information. So we will, if we haven't done so already, or if you feel like you need to submit another service request, go ahead and do that. But we're completing everything. We're closing out everything relatively quickly here. And everything that's left open at this point will be closed out and we'll be communicating with you. If this sounds like this is also
relatively minor. I'm not trying to belittle your cure anything, but it sounds like something that could be closed out relatively quickly once we get to it, compared to target market accountability type requirements that need to that may take a little bit longer. So just bear with us a little bit. And again, if we don't respond, which we should, go ahead and submit another service report.
Well, I mean, and the response says,
Jennifer, what I would recommend, sorry, Jennifer, real quick, this is Marcy. What I would recommend, it could be that you submitted the new documentation and we still have an issue with the new documentation. So Michelle mentioned earlier in the call that sometimes groups will submit new bylaws or other governance documentation and or new organizing documents like articles of incorporation or whatever, and there's no evidence submitted with that document to show that that document is actually a document, the current document of record for that particular entity. So what I would recommend is even just proactively take a look at the last version of that document that you submitted to us. If it's got all the pages in it, great. But check and make sure that that document includes evidence that it is approved by the governing leadership and the date that it was approved, because that might be the issue, that the form of documentation is not acceptable.
It is there, but I will say the first draft of it that was, you know, incorrectly missing pages, when it was the attachment was uploaded, the type of document was chosen as legal entity document changes. When we went in to add the second full copy, that is no longer an if you try to upload a new document with that same type of document description, I believe you get an error message. You are not able to upload another document with that same title, because I just tried it. And it won't let. So, again, that's a specific. I don't know if you need, if I need to delete these two old ones, which I don't want to do because they have the dates of when we, you know, uploaded them with the actual dates that were timely responses.
And, Jennifer, I'm just going to say, so, yes, you may not be able to upload a document with the same name, but you could upload a version where you say current version, you name it current as of, you know, submitted XYZ date, so we know that it's the most recent version.
Okay. I will upload a third copy. Thank you.
Okay, great.
All right, so I think that takes us to our last caller, right, Erin?
We did have one more queue up if you guys wanted to take that. It is the second round for this person.
Oh, okay, let's do it.
Okay, Gary, your line is open. Sure.
Thank you, Michelle and team, for your time and consideration today. This is my first question and only question. We are in the ridiculously high-cost Southern California market. Our credit union met the units test. We were well above the 60% threshold for units and slightly below on dollar volume. And the reason for it is with the disproportionate mortgage refinance volume we've done during the COVID era. My question is there any allowance or leeway or consideration that can be lent to the impact of the extraordinary COVID era mortgage refinancing activity, and especially for those credit unions such as ours that are doing what we think we're supposed to be doing in helping people of modest means, while also helping those who are fortunate enough to be able to finance or refinance homes that in our area have a median price of approaching $1 million for a starter home. So is there any way that we can get over that 60% hump, or any consideration lent for lowering the threshold given these extraordinary circumstances? And thank you very much again.
Well, we appreciate your call and your question. We can only at this point in time work within the boundaries of the policies that we have. That does not mean that you cannot present that information in the application if you're doing a target market mod, or as justification to your being less than the 60%. That's something we would obviously need to take up the chain to leadership. I don't know what that would mean. So for you ultimately, I'm saying, but right now, if you're not meeting the requirements, we put you in a cure period. If you can't come out of a cure period, it's typically a termination of your status. But I don't know what I don't know for management. So that's above my pay grade at this point. So let's see, if you wouldn't mind submitting a service request regarding that, so before you go down the road to submitting anything, we might be able to secure an answer around that. And if this is something that I suspect might be affecting other CDFIs and specifically credit unions, I would leave management to make those determinations for us.
And thank you, Michelle. And then a quick follow-up. With respect to the cure, if it's for the year just completed, right, we obviously can't make loans and backdate them to that period. So if as of the end of the fiscal year, if we're below the threshold, there is really no cure opportunity. Am I correct in looking at it that way?
Right. So your current year, would you be able to meet in the current year?
Well, unfortunately, really unfortunately for us, our fiscal year just ended on June 30th. So we only have a month of activity in the new fiscal year.
Gotcha. Again, that's a little bit of a detail that I'll need to parse out with again, still outside of the policies that we have currently.
It's possible, I don't know how that will play out, but it's possible for a group that the fiscal year just ended. The cure period is for 2 to 3 months. So there may be a little bit more data as we get towards the end of the cure period, and we would be able to look at that, perhaps.
That's very helpful. Thanks very much.
Okay. Now, Erin, was that the last call in the queue?
We had one more queue up after Gary, if you guys wanted to take
all right.
that.
So we'll take one more question. Do not queue up any more people. If you want us to complete some of these cure and service requests and such, we got to get back to work. So let's take the last question.
All right. And the last question, I was not able to gather a name. So if you queued up for a question, your line is open.
Hi, this is Marisa. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Hi.
Thank you so much, Michelle and team. I had registered earlier, but it's an old iPhone, so something must not be catching. Thanks for letting me sign up again to ask a question. Our CDFI has grown over the years, and we currently have 17 certified target markets comprised of a combination of the LITP and 3 OTPs across 5 contiguous states. With the recent attention on the cure certification cure process, we've learned about advised percentages of 30% for representation of each target market component for accountability on a statewide CDFI's governing or advisory boards, and 40% for a national CDFI. In which category does a multi-state CDFI like ours fall? Statewide or national? And then, is the suggested percentage of 30% or 40% for each distinct target market, because we have 17, so that's mathematically impossible, or aggregate target market representation? If it turns out it's for distinct target market, and again, we have 17, is it advisable for us to focus on roughly 25% representation for the LITP and the 3 OTPs without state-specific representation, given that we have 5 contiguous states? So I know that's a lot, but we're trying to navigate that, and I appreciate any guidance you can provide us today. Thank you.
This is Marcy, and the answer to your question, unfortunately, you're not going to like this answer, is that when we're looking at accountability, We look at a board and we test to see whether that board has the necessary level of accountability to each target market component alone. So we don't look at it in the aggregate. We don't say, is there a sufficient level of accountability to the overall target market? We say, for each target market component, does this entity have a board, either a governing or a managing board, or an advisory board that provides a sufficient level of accountability specifically to this target market component? Now, in some cases where the target market components have the same target market type and the geographies are within close proximity to each other, then we can look at the different target market components together, but that would only be if they have the same target market type and the geographies for the target market components are all in close proximity to each other. Otherwise, when it comes to different target market types or target market components with geographies where the target market type is the same but the geographies are not close to each other, then we're going to look to see if your entity has a board that has a sufficient level of accountability specifically to that target market component on its own. So in terms of those percentages that you were talking about, for an entity that serves a multi-state area, we typically use sort of the statewide level threshold. As soon as an entity gets to the national level, then we start using the national level sort of standard there. But so you've mentioned that your entity is multi-state, it's more than statewide, but not national. We'd be looking for your entity basically to have a level of accountability at the statewide level. Now, if your entity starts getting into being serving, you know, 48 of, I think there are 50 states in the U.S., I can never remember. If you're serving 48 of the 50 states, and that's the geography that we're looking at, then we might be looking at something a little bit more than the statewide percentage level of accountability, but something a little bit less than the national level. So just kind of use that, depending on how many states you're serving. If you're serving like 5 or 6 states, maybe 10 states, then we're going to apply the statewide level of accountability threshold, that percentage. So for a low-income targeted population or another targeted population, at the statewide level, we'd be looking for at least 30% of a board to be accountable to a target market component where the targeted population is the target market type. And then if it's an investment area at the statewide level, we'd be looking for at least 40% of the board to be accountable to that particular investment area. So again, your entity is going to need to be able to demonstrate accountability specifically to each individual target market component, and you're going to have a sufficient level of accountability, either perhaps, you know, around that 30 to 40% level, depending on what type of target market it is. Then you're going to have somewhere around, well, somewhere between probably 20 to 40%, depending on the geography size and the target market type. At least 20 to 40% of the board is going to have to be accountable to that particular target market component. Again, depending on the target market type and the geography for that particular target market component. So,
sorry to jump in there, Marcy.
Yep.
Without knowing what all of your target market components are, we can't necessarily tell you for sure, but you might be able to reconfigure that in a way that makes more sense. You might have grown over the years and just kept adding target markets and adding target markets, and that might not have been sort of the best way to look at it. So here's another opportunity, I think, to take another look at what you're really serving, where you're really serving, and reconfiguring it into a different, maybe less number of separate target market components.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, too, because for some groups with accountability issues, they might not have issues meeting the target market benchmarks, but they have accountability issues, and so they can't use those target market components because they don't have the needed accountability to them. Sometimes fixing the accountability issues involves a target market modification request. So, and as Michelle pointed out, particularly if an entity has just been sort of adding target market components with the same target market type to earlier target market components that they had, but within different geographies, and not sort of combining those geographies together if they were contiguous, then it might be time for a target market modification to sort of combine all that stuff so that you can have your board members, you can demonstrate your level of accountability, that sufficient level of accountability to that broader overall geography for that target market type.
I thank you. I do think we'll submit a service request for more guidance. It's sounding like, but I've not seen provision for this in any of the guidance documents, but it's sounding from your response as though we could potentially apply for example, an OTP with a multi-state geography. Is that, am I understanding that correctly? I thought that needed to be
state. That is correct. Yep, nope, does not have to be state by state. You can do multi-state geographies for your target market components.
So long as those geographies are contiguous in some way, or if you're looking and you're thinking that you're really serving national, then you can potentially do a national targeted population target market component.
Thank you. This is very helpful. And again, I think we'll follow up with some service request specificity, but this alone is enlightening for us. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. So, Erin, I think we've reached the end of our call queue. Is that correct now?
That is correct. We have no additional questions in queue.
Awesome. I hope this call has been helpful. We have finally reached the end of this session. And again, if you didn't get a chance to ask any of your questions, please submit a service request through the AMIS portal. You can also submit an email by the CDFI help at cdfi.trez.gov. I said that quickly so that you won't necessarily have had time to write it down because the AMIS portal is the best way for us to keep track of it. So use the service request if you
can. And Michelle, I'm just going to throw in here, make sure that if you're asking questions related to your cure status, mention in the service request header that your entity is in a cure right now for its CDFI certification.
Right, in the subject line, yeah. I was just about to say that, Marcy. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, Michelle. Yep.
All good. That's why we work so well together. And remember, you know, there's always these CDFI certification application guidance materials. In the meantime, that's on our website. You can download and take a look at that, and hopefully that might provide a little bit of clarity as well, again, with accountability and those categories for which you can assign your board members to. So, again, I hope this call was helpful and provided a little bit more clarity on the nature of the compliance issues and how to go about correcting those identified issues. And remember that all organizations that received the blanket notification in July, between July 23rd and July 26th, I believe, you will receive an automatic extension to 11:59 p.m. on October the 23rd. We will leave the target market modification application open for your submission through that. Anyone else must maintain the deadlines that are associated to your particular issues that will receive before the July deadline. I'm sorry, the July notification. Okay, so with that all said, we're going to go ahead and end the call now. Thank you, everybody, for joining the call and for bringing your questions forward. And thank you, Erin, for managing the queue of calls and for your help. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.
Thank you, speakers. That concludes today's conference. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect and have an amazing day.